Welcome to Torah Simcha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek, Mem, Chapter 40. The Gemara in Baba Basra describes Yeshayahu as kulo nechemta, all comfort. Until this point, this does not seem to be an accurate description. The book has been filled with mostly chastisements and negative prophecies about our enemies. It is at this point that the Sefer will fulfill its description. In the next 26 chapters, we will learn the essence of Yeshayahu's prophecy, which is that of comfort, nechama. In fact, all of the seven haftaros that we read after Tisha B'Av, called the Shiva D'Nechemta, are taken from these prakim, along with many other haftaros that we will read throughout the year. Yeshayahu lived during the time of the first temple, the first Beis HaMikdash, and prophesied its destruction. There is comfort provided for that loss of the first Beis HaMikdash, but most of the consolation provided in this book is for the loss of the second Beis HaMikdash and the extremely long exile that followed, in which we are still now. The prophecies of redemption, therefore, are mainly for the ultimate redemption we are currently yearning for. Two main themes of comfort that we will see throughout and in this first chapter itself are: 1. That Hashem has not forsaken us nor replaced us, but that His promise is still binding. Included in this is the idea that Hashem is, of course, capable of fulfilling those promises. And 2, that despite our sins, we are not irredeemable. We have not lost the claim to the above promises due to our own actions. Bnei Yisrael is still Hashem's special nation and retains full claim to all that entails. In preparing these chapters, I was very torn between presenting a concise, easily flowing summary of the deep ideas in each chapter and focusing on the poetic language that is really the hallmark of Yeshayahu's prophecy. Even for those who do not easily understand the Hebrew, it is so worthwhile to try and let these poetic words touch your heart. And on that note, let us begin inside. The first section of this chapter is Psukim 1 through 5, Aleph through Hey, in which there is the initial proclamation of comfort. This begins aptly with probably the most famous statement of comfort and consolation in all of Tanakh: Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, comfort, comfort my nation. According to Rashi, this is not only the beginning of this prophecy, but an introduction or a heading of sorts to the rest of the Sefer, a proclamation that from this point onward, we will be focusing on Nechama, consolation. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Yomar Elokechem, comfort, comfort my people, says Hashem. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim Vikiru Eleha, speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call out to her. Kimal Atzva'a, for her time has elapsed. Kinir Tza'avona, because her sin has been forgiven. Kilacha Miyad Hashem Kiflaim Bechochatoseha, because she has taken from Hashem double for all her sins. The first glaring issue that requires explanation is the beginning repetition, Nachamu Nachamu, and there is duality that continues throughout these two verses. There are many beautiful and well-known explanations for this repetition. I will focus on those that echo themes that we will see throughout this chapter and the rest of the Sefer. According to Mitzudas David, the repetition is for emphasis. As we see in many places in Tanakh, and especially in the poetry of Nevi'im Achronim, the message here is that the comfort will be on the norm. The consolation will be great and strong. The Abravanel offers a second and more technical explanation. We will be comforted twice for the two temples that will be destroyed. That is in and of itself a comfort. Knowing that the second destruction was foretold and that the consolation was already promised, after seeing the destruction of the first temple and that that temple was rebuilt based on the same prophecies, makes the losing of the second Beis HaMikdash more bearable, even at the time itself. The Malbim offers a third explanation, that the double language offers two options of comfort. We will learn in Perek Samach, chapter 60, that when Yeshayahu describes the ultimate redemption, he says it will happen, Bi'ita Achishena, at its time I will speed it up. The Gemara asks the obvious question, which is it? Will it be in its time, or will it be sped up? And the answer is given that it will be either or. There is a final time that Hashem will bring our redemption no matter what, and that will be Bi'ita, at its preordained time. But if we choose to, we can speed the redemption by making ourselves worthy of receiving it, and that will be Achishena, I will speed it up. Malbim explains that the prophecy of redemption must contain both possibilities. Yes, we can bring it with our good deeds and speed it up by deserving it, but even if we do not, consolation and comfort are guaranteed, Bi'ita, at a given time that must come. And again, that is of great comfort to us. knowing that it will come absolutely. And this is represented by the two Nachamus. The last explanation that we will offer is offered by more modern commentaries. And that is that just as we have suffered physical and spiritual loss, so too the consolation will come in a physical and spiritual way. We will be consoled and comforted for those things that we have lost physically, and we will also be consoled and comforted for those things that we have lost spiritually. Although not actual repetition, the second verse ends with duality as well. Because she has taken from the hand of Hashem double for all her sins. This verse certainly requires explanation. We are clearly not punished by a just God more than we deserve for our sins. So what does double mean here? Here, in explanation, we find very similar themes to what we saw before. First, like the emphasis of Nachamu Nachamu, our consolation will be commensurate with our suffering. So our consolation will be so great, it will be as if we suffered double. The double, again, is for emphasis. Second, the duality could be technical. We suffer double because we suffer the destruction of two Batei Mikdash, two temples. We are therefore suffering for the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and of the second, and we will be comforted for the same as well. When it says that we took double from Hashem, it means we took double suffering, or suffering for one Beis HaMikdash and then another. A third explanation is something more philosophical, meaning that we suffered something which is beyond the physical. So it wouldn't exactly be double, but kifla'im, double, would mean more than the norm. Norm would be single. The suffering or persecution of the Jewish people clearly defies all natural explanation. Our punishment went out of the order of nature, kifla'im, and so too will our redemption be out of the order of nature. Kol kori bamidbar, panu derech Hashem. A voice calls out in the wilderness, make a straight path, clear a way for Hashem. Yashru ba'arava misila lelokenu. Make a straight path in the desert, a road for Hashem. Kol geyin asay, every valley will be raised. V'chol har v'giva yishpalu. And every mountain and hill will be lowered. V'haya akov l'mishor v'harechasim l'vika. The crooked will become straight and the heights will become valleys. The desert referred to here, according to Rashi and Radak, is Yerushalayim after the destruction, when it was desolate. The Navi is calling out to the desolate city of Yerushalayim. Panu derech Hashem. Make a way. Make a pathway back to Hashem. And if you do, like it says in Pasuk Dalet, he will respond in kind and make it easy to return. Meaning, he will lower the hills and he will raise the valleys in order that you have a straight way to come back to me. The Abravanel suggests that the desert is not Yerushalayim, which is now desolate, but Midbar Sinai. The Psukim are referring to the voice that called out to us many years before and still does. This is the same voice we heard in the original Midbar at Har Sinai. And that is the way to get back to Hashem. The Navi here is referring to Hashem giving us the Torah at Har Sinai and telling us that we don't need to look for something new. We have what we need to bring us back to Hashem. And that is the voice that we heard in the Midbar telling us to keep the Torah and mitzvos. If we follow that voice, then Pasuk Dalet, Hashem will return us to him. This Pasuk Dalet, that Hashem will raise the valleys and will lower the mountains, can be read either physically or spiritually. Physically, we will be brought back with ease to Hashem, either to the physical place of Yerushalayim, or Hashem will make it easier physically for us to return to him by removing our physical challenges that tempt us to go in other directions. Pasuk Dalet could also be explained spiritually. Not that valleys and mountains will actually change or that there will be a physical ease, but that our priorities and values and positions of this world that do not reflect Torah values and Hashem's honor, they will change and they will switch around. There will be a complete reorientation, and the result will be Pasuk Hei, V'nigla kvod Hashem, V'ra'u kol basar yachdav, Kipi Hashem diber. The glory of Hashem will be revealed, and all of mankind together will see that the mouth of Hashem has spoken. According to Rav Hirsch, this will only happen when we see that the things that we tend to value in this world are really meaningless, and it is only the eternal values of Hashem and Torah that are really meaningful. Those, unfortunately, are the valleys in this world, and when they become mountains, Hashem's glory will be revealed. As the Navi acknowledges, this is not the way it is now. There may seem to be many forces in the world that govern what really happens, and sometimes it seems as if the promises that Hashem has made us to redeem us are impossible. So the next part of the parak continues with the Navi telling us of the permanence of Hashem and comparing that to the fleeting nature of man. He compares people to grass and blossoms in the field that are beautiful but wither. As Pasuk Ches, verse 8, explains, Yavish Chatzir Navel Tzitz, Udvar Elokeinu Yakum Le'olam, grass withers and blossoms fade, but the words of Hashem will stand forever. When we are removed, this seems so clear, but it is only natural for a human being to rely on the physical forces that are apparent around us. They seem to be immutable, but really they are only as permanent or powerful as grass that withers. And it is only Hashem's word that is absolute, because only He lasts forever. And with that guarantee, the Navi continues to Psukim 9 through 11, foretelling the redemption, with an emphasis on it being public and with a loud voice. Mahari Kra explains that these two sections go together. Hashem is telling the Navi, do not hesitate to proclaim such elaborate prophecies of what is to come. Whatever looks to be the world forces now are fleeting compared with the permanence and might of Hashem. You might feel that if you proclaim to Bnei Yisrael that Hashem is coming to redeem them, they will not believe you. Do not hesitate to say it and publicize it, even with a loud voice, even though it seems so improbable based on the reality around you, because really it is that prophecy that will last forever and not the fleeting powers and trends of the world that we think will govern what will happen. So what will happen? Let us look in Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Hinei Hashem Elokim b'chazak yavo uzro'o mosh lalo. Hinei scharo ito uful aso lefanav. Behold, Hashem will come with a strong arm, and His arm will dominate for Him. His reward is with Him, and His wages before Him. Kiroe edro yireb izro'o, yikabetz tla'im uvechiko yisa alos yenahel. He is like a shepherd who graces his flock, who gathers the lambs in his arms, who carries them next to his chest, who guides the nursing sheep. Even within this proclamation of Hashem's strength, the stress is on how Hashem cares for and takes notice of each individual member of Klal Yisrael. Lahavdil, like the great leaders of Bnei Yisrael in the past, that also paid attention to each and every individual. A shepherd cares for each individual's sheep. So too, Hashem is concerned not only to redeem the entire nation, but He is concerned with each one of us. The parak continues with beautiful descriptions of the power of Hashem, and then, connected to that, the absurdity of idolatry. It continues with a promise in Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27. Lama somar Yaakov usitaber Yisrael, nistarad darki me Hashem, mielokai mishpati avor. Why do you say Yaakov and declare Israel, my way is hidden from Hashem, and from my God my sentence passes? Halo yadata im lo shamata elokei olam Hashem? Do you not know, if you did not hear, that Hashem is the God of the world? Borei kitzos haaretz, He created the edges of the earth. Lo yaf v'lo yiga, He does not tire and He does not wane. Ein cheker lisfunaso, We cannot understand His understanding. Nosein le'yaef koach o le'ein onim atzma yarbe, He gives strength to those that are weary, and to those that are powerless He gives great power. Ve'yafu na'arim v'yiga'u, Youths may weary and tire. Uvachorim kashol yikashelu, and young men may fall. V'kovei Hashem yachalifu koach, but those who trust in Hashem, they will have renewed strength. Ya'alu ever kanisharim, they will grow wings like eagles. Yarutzu v'lo yiga'u, they will run, but they will not get tired. Yelchu v'lo yi'afu, they will walk and they will not grow weary. This chapter focuses on what we deem the natural course of events and the many strengths and powers we perceive that the world has that keep us from believing the ultimate promises from Hashem. So, the chapter ends with that promise, that those who seem strong and who seem like their strength will last forever, they will not. It is only those to whom Hashem gives strength. They will grow strong and they will have power and they will stand the test of time, because power comes only from Him. Thank you for learning Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.